This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And a couple weeks ago, I was in Phoenix talking to a guy who has a connection in some of the Christian universities here. And he told me they recently did a survey on porn use on youth there. And they did that, and they're shocked to come back and find out that 80% of the Christian men said they were struggling with pornography. Mm-hmm. And it just blew them away, and they couldn't believe it. And I continue to share these numbers and see these numbers on this broadcast because the porn epidemic in the church is not going away. It is continuing to stampede. It is continuing to grow. It is continuing to destroy lives and marriages and families. And as you've heard me mention before, you have listened to this broadcast every single day in America. A pastor or a youth leader or a worship leader is exposed or arrested, or it comes to light of an affair or of sexual abuse or child pornography. And those stories are so heartbreaking to watch because so many lives are being destroyed. And when a pastor's life is rocked like that with child porn, and this is happening all over the place, there's a lot of collateral damage, not just to him and his family, but to those he's hurt, to those in his flock. So we are a church at war. And so today I have with me in studio a special guest. I met this guy named Dwayne Allen a couple months ago. He came to my house to do some work. Mm-hmm. He was raised in a Midwest community by a single mother who earned her income from the sex industry. Dwayne experienced a lot of chaos and trauma growing up, and today God has radically changed his life. Dwayne is a plumber, but he also serves in prisons in other areas. Dwayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome and greetings, Mike. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming, and let's kick this off and get into your story.
Okay. Well, I think we got a couple of hours. No, I'm going to be brief, and I believe that truly the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, so we will be cautious of the time. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was born in the 60s, and, there's a lot as children we don't know. The environment we grew up in, I remember being 4 years old because I have injuries on the outside that I remember. I remember the 13 stitches in my knee. I remember the 12 stitches in my hand, and I can see those marks today, but they healed. But there's a lot of things that happen, and I want to share this because it's important for me to not only share those the wounds that I physically see that have healed, but there's also wounds that take time to heal that aren't seen. So growing up, we grew up, my mother was a single mother. She had my brother when she was 16. She had me when she was 18. And then she had my younger brother at 20 years old. So you're talking three boys before the age of 24. My mother, we grew up in the ghetto until I was about 5 years old. And when I say that, Lockfield Gardens was the premier projects in the 60s and 70s. I do remember, I never remember being hungry, but I remember seeing the violence and the chaos. I remember in 1968 when Martin Luther King was killed and there were riots. And I remember my mother saying she was going to get us out of there. And she came back one night. She was working at RCA, but she was also a model at Madam C.J. Walker. And one night she came home and said, I'm going to get us out of here. So I would say about a year later, we moved from the ghetto to an apartment. And then in another year, we got a brand new house. It was a 25. And so money started coming in, and my mom was working more. We never knew that my mom was involved in the sex industry at the time. We just knew that we were doing better. And then the environment started to change because there were people coming over, a lot of women coming over, dressed nice. And slowly as we got older, we were exposed to more of the entertainment side without knowing that it was, in fact, legal, or what we would call prostitution. So these were family members also. So something significant that happened is, you know, as children, we really didn't understand what we were going through. But spiritually, there was a lot happening. There was a lot of things being put in us. So the parties, for example, once we got the new house, the swimming pool, parties every weekend, lots of people, drugs and alcohol and just stuff, literally anything you can imagine. We weren't really exposed to that much, but we would sneak around and look and see, you know, what was going on. And so one of the significant things, I think this is important, is my mom worked for a family. And she managed about 18 to 20 girls. Something happened in the late 70s where the owner, I can say their names, owners Gordon and Dorothy, the owner was poisoned and he died right in front of her. He was killed. And they also poisoned my mom, too, whatever they did with these drinks. But she survived. She made it through. It took about a month, maybe 6 weeks for her to recover. She looked like a skeleton. But, you know, we had another side of our family. It was praying, prayer warriors. Somehow she came out of this. But when she came out of it, she fully took over the business. So that's what it was called, the family business.
How old were you at that point?
At that age, I think I was about 12, 13 years old. Now, some things that happened before that. One of the things, and I want to be real brief with this, but this is how God orchestrates things. One of the things my mom did do, I'm going to make this clear. Life was good as far as we know. We had a butler. We had maids. We had drivers. Security, once she took over, we also had a nanny. So something that happened to me at 11 years old is I began an affair with my nanny because I was exposed to. Now, when I say an affair, let's make that clear. It was sexual abuse. I was a child. You know, I thought that I had manipulated this 19-year-old woman into having sex with me by intimidating her and telling her, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell my mom, because my mom was she was a pimp. She was in the industry, and it was a very dangerous industry. So for 3 years, I had a relationship with this grown woman until my grandmother spent the night one night and heard something coming out of my room, and just all heck broke loose when she opened up the door and screams and everybody's running. And because of the confusion of this young child, I'm like, get out of my room. You know, what are you doing? When in fact, the adult side of my grandmother just coming to spend, she just lost it. You know, so I'm saying that to say that there was a lot of spiritual chaos, you know, for an 11-year-old boy to have a relationship with a grown woman. It's very difficult to. But I want to say this, that a lot of what happened, this is significant. I don't want to forget this, because one thing my mom did do is she got us a Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal, extremely faithful to the church woman to take care of us 4 days out of the week. So we were with Sister Willie Mae Peters. Monday nights, she would go to some type of meeting. Tuesday nights, it was a prayer meeting. Wednesday night, it was a Bible class. So I need to make this clear. From 8 to 11 years old, I was actually in a Bible class for those 4 days, for whatever reason. I'm sure it had something to do with scheduling, but something happened, because that's when I heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's when I felt the conviction and felt sorry for this man on the cross. All I started to hear was he was feeding people, he was healing people, he was giving sight to the blind. So God put something in me when all of this was happening. You know, when anyone that's going through this, I want to remind you that, if I may, that one of the scriptures I remember as a child is Luke 4:18, that Jesus came to set the captives free, to bring healing to the brokenhearted. And I never really understood that till later, because all of this that I'm telling you, from what I seen, what I grew up with, I remember we built another addition for special clients, for high level celebrities and people in government that would come for services, you know, and I was there with my friends, and this is really traumatic, especially to anyone that's been through this, to hear sexual activity as a child and wonder, and you figure out what it is. Someone's there for an hour, you know, and they leave, you know, and then someone else is there, you know, and you've got women, certain women coming in and out, and, you know, your friends are like, well, what is going on there, over there? What's that noise? And you're trying to play it off as if, you know, they're just playing cards or something, when in fact, that is a very heavy, that's trauma. It's traumatic, you know. So leaving the ghetto and remembering seeing all that violence and all that stuff, now we're jumping out to from a violent environment to an environment of sexual impurities. And when I say that, the things we heard were screams and pain and things that people go through for pleasure, but we were children. So eventually, once that happened, once the relationship was over, our house literally became a pool, a cesspool for other kids to come over. Well, we want to spend the night at you know, Dwayne's house, because pretty much we can do whatever we want to. You know, there's not much supervision there. So I'm saying this to say that everything that happened created abandonment, first of all, resentment, anger, fear, rejection, because I never really got to have the Leave It to Beaver family. You know, it was something, it seemed so simple. Everyone wanted to come and be with us and hang out with us, the pool and going out and doing all these things, you know. One significant thing is, Mike, is that growing up and being exposed to all this, I really thought it was okay. I thought it was okay because of the money, the lifestyle. I didn't see anything wrong with how our family made money. What I did have a problem with is how I felt inside, you know. So, and then being wanting, I call it the Leave It to Beaver family, but just wanting some normalcy. So I do want to say this, that at the age of 15 years old, my babysitter, I became friends with her boys, and we started getting involved in church. And then I started to fall in love with the character of Christ. You know, I already knew him as a child. I felt sorry for him, and I knew that he fed people. As I said, he brought healing, and then they killed him. But here's what happened. Actually, this was 11 years old. What happened is, when I found out after they did all these things to him, he rose again. It changed something inside of me. It made me feel a relief that somehow I could trust him. He was somebody that I can talk to, because he was alive again. As a child, I was actually looking for him.
So let's move into your healing process. That, I mean, that was a lot to heal from. What did
it
that
was.
Look like?
It was. And that's why I kind of went back to the original knowing Christ. The healing process really didn't actually happen because along with that process of seeing all this, there was also a lot of activity, drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, already part of my life. So I went to church one night when I was 19 years old. I went up to the altar, and I remember all of these elderly people coming around me and putting their hands on me. And all I remember is passing out. I don't know how long I was out, but when I woke up, all of those desires were gone. Mm. They were gone. Now, this is not dealing with the actual healing of all those other issues, but the deliverance from alcohol and promiscuity, it all went away. That in one day, I knew it was God. And the next thing I started to do was just to tell everybody about Jesus. So throughout the process of that, that was the initial, because a year later, God called me to preach the gospel. I went to Bible college, started preaching the gospel. Started working in prison ministry, nursing homes, hospital ministry, and traveling with the church, the school, to set up more schools. And it was I loved it, you know. But there was still something inside of me. There was almost like a something that hadn't been processed and dealt with. A good example was I remember driving and waiting for someone to turn, make a turn, and I'm yelling and screaming and getting all upset because I'm going to church, when in fact I couldn't see that there was a lady pushing a baby. Mm. And it made me say, wait a minute, there's something else going on inside of me. There's a rage. I had an anger and a fear and a revenge. Now, I was religious. I loved the Lord. I was being a faithful servant, but I still had stuff I hadn't dealt with and processed. That's when I went and talked to someone about spiritual counseling and sharing with me. And you know, they took me all the way back to when I was 6 years old, when I was blamed. This might seem simple, but I was blamed for something that I wasn't responsible for. And not only was our lifestyle that was what people would consider successful on one side, but we were also physically abused too when we did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So I never knew how significant that beating was, mm-hmm. but that I got an attachment with that. And it took healing. It took someone sharing with me, you know, do you know what your mother or your father went through to get them to where they are? I never even thought about that. Do you know that things can be carried over? So we're going to sever that right now. We're going to go back to that child, and you're going to remember, and then you're going to forgive. That's when the healing started to happen. When I was able to go back and look at everything that God protected me and brought me out of, and I was also able to forgive. Not only that, I was able to forgive myself, because there was a lot of things that I did that were wrong.
So the forgiveness process, letting go of bitterness, is not always an easy thing.
No, it's not. It took time. It took time. And this is really, if I may, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice. I did that when I surrendered to God and stopped doing things. Wholly acceptable unto God. But here's the part that I needed to work on. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's what took time. That's where it took humility to sit under someone, listen to the word, study the word of God, eat the word. You know, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know those scriptures today, but I didn't know them then. So learning the word, as James says, hearing the word and being a doer, and learning that the word of God is healing. You know, it takes me to a place where there's no excuse not to surrender. And I want to say this, Mike, the number one place of healing and deliverance for me is ultimate transparency with God. I got that when I had our children, our first child. Someone said to me, how would you feel if we took your four-year-old child, took him to a strip joint, and you thought he was safe, and we told women to do whatever they wanted to do to him? Now, this is 34 years old. I need to jump to this because I really didn't get it until he said that to me. When I looked at my son and imagined someone hurting him, whether it's a man or a woman, makes a difference. Because obviously those spirits can linger on, but this was something that got me an additional place of healing because I was holding that guilt, feeling like it was my fault that I was involved with an older woman.
So let me ask you, and I've been in a church recently where they said this, mm-hmm. that basically there's some of the churches, and I agree with your healing journey, by the way. I want to set that straight. But there's some in the church who will say, well, you don't need to go back to your childhood. You're a new creation in Christ. And basically, you're done. You just move forward. You don't got to deal with those wounds. What is your take on that?
My take on that is I won't go with a religious answer with the word, but I'll say search yourself, examine yourself, and see where you are. The Bible does say confession is good. You know, confess your faults one to another. So it's not just a matter of putting what I believe on someone else that works for them. That worked for me. Now, I do believe that that deliverance and prayer, I do believe in deliverance. I do believe in prayer, but I believe that people still need to be sanctified. And that takes time. You know, it takes time to exercise humility, to really put your guard down, to let someone in, to talk to you. Sometimes you got to go back for that. But I do believe in direct deliverance and healing. I do believe that.
You mentioned the sex industry being a dangerous industry. Is that for people getting killed, or what does dangerous mean?
Well, there were a lot of people who I obviously can't say that. But I can say that people never showed up. There were people that obviously it was clear that the people my mom worked for were poisoned, and it was supposed to kill her too. And it was a very dangerous industry. We had armed drivers. I mean, we couldn't go to the schools we went to. Weren't just us, but the other families too. But they were doctors and attorneys. But it was still in the same category. There were children that were kidnapped in our area. Unfortunately, some of them died, you know, when ransoms were paid or whatever. So that was part of, it's a very dangerous business. I mean, you've got other people trying to take over your business. I've seen people beat, you know, I've seen women beat by my family because they did things they weren't supposed to do. Things like that.
And I bring that up because the porn industry is a cousin of that. Mm-hmm. And when we have so many people in the church, like I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, viewing pornography, which is a satanic product, is this not extremely dangerous?
That's awesome that you say that, because deliverance means transformation. So when you dive into pornography, you dive into opening up that spirit, you're also opening yourself up to demonic forces that are involved with the destruction of youth. You know, I remember when I was married having an image that was put in my mind when I was 13 years old. Transformation. So, yes, so when we open up and go into the dark side. That's why the Bible says to walk in the spirit, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember, anyone that has the fire of God, you're still going to have struggles. You're still going to have issues. But there is a place that you can go in repentance and transparency.
Okay, Dwayne, 30 seconds. Anything you want to say to the audience?
What I really want to say, that if you have trauma from your childhood, first thing to do is totally surrender to God. Totally be honest with God in a secret place. Open up to God and ask God to direct you to people to talk to that you can trust to share with you godly counsel. Forgive and live your life for God. Very important also, forgive yourself. Let the word of God manifest in your heart. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. So be sincere with God.
Thank you, Duane. I can see the passion and the fire in you, and I appreciate you coming and sharing some very tough things. So you're a warrior, and I appreciate it. And thank you, my friends. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.